You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 985. We've got a returning guest here. We've got a founder of a really successful SaaS-based business, Magi, and we got Dustin Stout with us, and he's going to be talking about his journey. We've got some great questions for him. He said he liked the questions, so it should be a good show. Should be a great discussion about the realities of building a successful SaaS at the end of 2025. I don't know where the year's gone. It's just kind of blur, basically. So, Dustin, would you like to do a quick 10, 15 second intro to the tribe? And then when we come back, we can delve a bit more into your background.
Sure. My name's Dustin, CEO and founder of Magi, the all-in-one AI platform, the last AI subscription you'll ever need. And also a big WordPress buff. I've been building WordPress sites. I did build WordPress sites for about 12 years or so. Started my first SaaS was actually a WordPress plugin, and left that company in 2020 to start a couple other ventures. And long story short, AI hit and I saw the writing on the wall and thought, you know what, let's make AI the most accessible possible for the average person. And here we are with Magi today.
You've certainly done that. And I've got my great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Absolutely, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas. We also work directly with the great team at WP Tonic.
Yeah, like I say, we're going to be talking to Dustin about his struggles before he started Magi, how he dealt with those, what the journey's been. He's built a fabulous business. He's done really fantastic with it. I think he's up for giving us some real insights about the process. It should be a really informative show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out that we've got some special offers from the sponsors, plus a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the power user, for the small freelancer, for the agency owner. It's a great list. It will save you a ton of time. And like I say, some fantastic deals from the sponsors of the show. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there. What more can you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. I'm sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it. So let's go straight into it, Justin. So maybe you can give us a bit of background about what was happening before you started Magi, you know, especially the 12 months before its launch. What was going on? You've been quite public about some of the struggles in some of your posts about and some of your other podcast appearances. So, but maybe you can give the tribe a background those 12 months before the launch.
Yeah, so we really need to back up a little bit further. Like I said, I started a WordPress plugin company. I had two partners in that business and we did fairly well, became a quite a well-known plugin in the WordPress space. But
can I ask what it was actually?
It was called Social Warfare. It was a social sharing plugin. Yeah, so we were the founders of it, and you know, after several years of doing quite well with it, my partners and I, suffice to say, we drifted apart. I was kind of in the business every single day, and they both had other, you know, projects that they were working on, and you know, so we just kind of grew apart creatively and just strategically.
Yeah.
We had different ideas, and in 2020, I finally decided to exit that company. At that point, we had many, many competitors just flat out copying our product, and I needed to move on to something else. And so I exited, but this was actually in the midst of a lot of personal crisis. So in 2019, my wife started to have a lot of mysterious health issues, and she was struggling a lot with her health. And, you know, I was trying my best to be a good husband and a dad to three kids and like keeping it all together. Meanwhile, my business was failing, and I knew I needed to exit, all the while feeling like nothing I was doing was actually working. You know, struggling with depression, and you know, just all the pressures of life really started to cave in on me. I began to have, you know, thoughts of just ending it all and not wanting to be around, feeling like I'm failing as a husband, failing as a father, failing as a businessman. And then I had a friend who is a very outspoken advocate for suicide prevention and mental health, very prominent in the online space. He actually took his life, and that was devastating to me. But just an all too real reminder that, you know, we need to talk more about mental health, and we need to surround ourselves with people who are going to lift us up, and they're going to support us in our time of need, not run away because, you know, they're only chasing to be, you know, aligned with the people who are winning at life every single day. So 2019 was rough. 2020 exited the company that I helped start.
This is the plugin. This is the plugin.
Plugin company. Yeah, exited that company in 2020 and had two ideas for products that I thought were really great ideas. The problem was that both of these products were multi-million dollar product ideas that were going to take a lot of resources to build. So I had to find a way to get some resources. I didn't have a lot. And I had to find a way to sort of MVP both of these products into a much cheaper, easier to execute product. Long story short, I found a couple of investors who gave me $15,000 each to build these products, launched them. It took about six or 9 months for, you know, both of them to be released into the wild, and they both failed miserably. I got maybe a few dozen users to sign up, but the
traction was not there. Yeah, so can I ask a quick question before we go on to the next question about that? Because you're a smart cookie, you know, you're no idiot, right?
I like to think so.
No, I know you're not. You know, you're no idiot. You can be as bright as you like, and you still have blind spots. You know, we're just human, but you're no idiot. So, have you come to any conclusion why these two products failed?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, it was really just a matter of product market fit and finding a unique value proposition that was greater than the current solutions on the market. So the primary product was really a social media graphics generator. What I wanted it to be, what I envisioned it to be, was an AI-powered social media graphics generator. But this was well before AI was accessible to anyone. This was even before, you know, the Jaspers and the copy AIs of the world, you know, pre-ChatGPT. I mean, it wasn't even accessible. So I would have needed to raise $100 million just to get the real version of the product out. So what I ended up doing was paring it down to, you can create a social media graphics in bulk by filling out a form. And it just, that was all we could do at the time with the resources that we had. And the value proposition just wasn't there. People were already using Canva, and it was just easier for people. They already knew how to use Canva, and the Canva's magic resize to get the different size graphics they came in. So we just didn't have a compelling enough value proposition to get people to make the change. Getting people to change their behavior and their established tools and workflows is incredibly hard. And we just did not have the our little MVP that in the end probably cost me closer to $40,000 to build.
Yeah.
Just wasn't enough. And all the marketing skill I had could not convince people. So 2 years of just grinding, trying to find a way to make that product work. And then the other product, which was called Social Remix. The idea was you put in a link to your blog post and we'll create a bunch of social media assets out of it. Zero AI.
That sounds interesting.
It did. It sounded very interesting. But this was, again, before AI. So it was not AI powered at all. It was just pulling little snippets. Right. You had to fill out a form again. You type through it. And the resulting graphics and assets just weren't super compelling.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really convince people that it was worth, paying an ongoing recurring.
Couldn't you have got army of fivers, people done it manually, pretend, there's loads of AI companies that say AI.
Yeah. But in a pre-AI world, it just wasn't good enough. Right. And so, the 2 years of grinding and just feeling like an utter failure, like I can't come up with a good idea to save my life. I probably burned through $65,000. Our savings were gone.
So it's that 60, because you're being really upfront about this and I don't want to push you in any direction. Well, you seem to.
I'm an open book.
Right. Because I'm English, so... a bit like Scandinavian, we don't discuss money and that, but I do now. So you burnt through a lot of your savings and you burnt through this investor's money. Mm-hmm. So where were you? Because you said your wife had some health problems. Was she still working? Did she have a job?
Never worked, actually. As long as we've been married, she did nanny for a while and did some... I guess tutoring, but that was very brief when our kids were very young. But ever since, I think it was around 2012 or 13, maybe, like, she hadn't worked since then. And so she was just a stay at home mom. But she was having, a lot of these very mysterious and strange health issues that no doctor could help figure out. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, near the end of this journey that I was on with these two failed products, her health had recovered. She was doing much better. And she was finally able to, start looking for work because, I had had, I was at my wit's end. I really thought there
and was, she was nothing. Your relation was solid because unfortunately, a lot of relationships, they break up when there's some, the real reasons were there from the beginning, but yeah. It sounds like you had a strong relationship there.
Well, yeah. I mean, God blessed me with the best woman in the world. And she is also, she has more faith than I do at times when things are hard. And so she was the one that kind of kept me going.
So things... emotionally and financially, Dustin, aren't too great.
They were dire. I was really worried about how I was going to pay my mortgage, my kids.
There's a lot of people that say that, and you find out that it wasn't really. So,
our bank accounts were empty. I had started taking on a few more clients again. I had two clients that were kind of just keeping us afloat. At that point, my runway from the exit of the WordPress company, the runway had run out. My payout had finished. And I had two clients that were just paying me enough for us to get by. I had actually started looking for work. So I, for the first time in 12, 15, 14 years maybe, had started applying for jobs and applied for many companies. I went even through 7 different interviews at 2 different companies just for them to tell me, no, sorry, you seem like a flight risk. So we're going to go a different direction. Both companies
who like love that, haven't you? A flight risk. I love it.
Well, because they knew I'm an entrepreneur and, you know, I have ideas. And at that point, I was ready to give it up. I was ready to just stop trying to be an entrepreneur because everything was failing. I had not seen a win in 2 years at that
point. Well, I think you've been a little bit harsh on yourself. You know, the plug-in you just mentioned for Time was a really big plug-in in the WordPress space, wasn't it? So I think you've been a little... So I'm interrupting.
Well, I mean, it's hard to see through the clouds, right? When you're in a storm, it's really difficult to see through those clouds. I mean, you can...
Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, because you can have all these successful moments in life and, you know, you have these thoughts of like, well, that was then. And what about now? Have I passed my peak? Am I no longer, you know, creative enough? Am I no longer, you know, smart enough? Am I no longer good enough? Has the world passed me by? You start having all these intrusive thoughts, right? And it's just the clouds that are around you. You can't see through it. That's why you need good people. That's why I, you know, thank God for my wife because she was able to see through those clouds. She believed in me.
So things aren't looking. So where did the essence of Magi come from then? Where did the idea?
There was this moment where, again, I was in a very dark place, but I knew I had to press forward every day. My family depended on me and my wife had started looking for work. She's now a teacher at a Christian school teaching middle schoolers. But I had to keep these clients happy. And then ChatGPT hit the scene. I was one of the first people to sign up for the public version of ChatGPT. I started using it and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, this is what we've been waiting for. We've had AI copywriting tools up to then. Jasper was already established, copy AI and all the 1,000 copycats of copy AI. They were around at that point and I used them, but they were really bulky. They were hard to use. They were all predicated on fill out this form to do this template. And then they'd search through these templates to get these kinds of results. And it was like, you know, walking into Netflix and going, what am I going to watch today? It's like, well, what template do I need today? And it was difficult and bulky to use. But when ChatGPT came and it said, just tell the AI what you want and it gives it to you. And then you can have a conversation and have it edit itself. This was mind-blowing to me. And it was almost like I had a vision of what the next 3 to 5 years was going to look like and where this technology was going. And it was just one of those things. I don't know if you've ever like experienced a product or a technology where or anything in life really where the minute you interact with it, you feel like you understand it in a way that you can start really applying things to it. And so I just started applying the technology to my clients' work, to my work, and I just understood it and started to learn more and more about it just to take advantage of it. But just like any good product person, any good entrepreneur, you start to use something daily and regularly, you start to see all the cracks. You start to see all the gaps. You're like, oh, this is great, but why doesn't it do this? And why doesn't it have this thing? And why can't I just search through my chats? I wish I could put these into folders. I wish I could be more organized and have like workspaces so I could separate my client work from my personal work, right? All these little things, they start to pile up. And as an entrepreneur, you're like, well, maybe I can think of a way to make a better version of this. And that's exactly sort of the feeling I had was, what if I could make a better ChatGPT, just a better interface for ChatGPT? Because that's you know, kind of my forte was building interfaces. You know,
I was wondering this. So your experience, you are designing.
Yeah, I started as a designer. Started as a graphic designer. Taught myself web design. By web design, I mean I would customize WordPress themes, and that's what I did for clients for many, many years before starting the WordPress plugin company. The thing I realized about building websites for people was I was really good at it. I could make things look really good, but I took too long. I was the designer who would spend an hour and a half trying to figure out how round and what color the button should be. And that doesn't scale very well, right? I could help maybe 3 or 4 clients at a time, but I couldn't scale my professionalism.
So your experience, UX, interface designer, you got this idea. we all got ideas, but the difference between you made the idea a real product.
Yeah.
And, but so how did that, so did you know some developer types that could help you? Because, you know, you
I did. But the thing is, I couldn't pay them. And my
they won't help you then.
Right. No, no more money. So
they're not interested unless you can give them the gold, isn't it?
Right.
Even if you're going to give them half the company.
I'm a firm believer of pay people what they're worth. And so I wasn't going to cheap out it. I literally had no money to pay anyone. So what I had to do was figure out, okay, I have no money. I have free time. All right. That's really the only resource I had at the time. And I have to make something work. My mortgage and my kids' food and clothes depends on me figuring something out. And so I just decided I'm going to figure out how to make a better version of ChatGPT without having to hire developers because I can't afford to. And so I just went to work researching no-code tools that were out there, looking at Framer and all these other things, Bubble and a bunch of other no-code apps that were popping up left and right, and happened to find a course creator. His name's Seth. He has a website called nocode.mba, and he had a course about how to build an AI chatbot using APIs of all these different companies. And so I took that course, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can build exactly what I wanted to build.
What no-code builder did you use?
Bubble. So I started with Bubble.
You do. All right.
And I just learned as much as I can. It's fascinating. It reminded me of when I was learning WordPress.
See, I know what you've done, and I don't care. This is a right. You are a real fighter, Dustin. I give you 12 out of 10. I don't normally say that. I don't normally say this, Dustin. Sorry. Keep going. I keep interrupting.
Well, yeah. I mean, so I took the course on how to learn Bubble. And then I, looked up 100 other different YouTube videos, how to build things on Bubble. And every step of the way, I'm just like learning, how do I put this vision that's in my head into reality? I know people are going to benefit from this. I know how business owners work. I know how professionals work. And right now, ChatGPT just isn't enough for them. So I need to build these features that will help make life easier. And oh, wait. There's these other companies out there that are competing with ChatGPT. Claude's really good. And then, Google at the time, theirs was called Bard. I don't know if anybody remembers that. It wasn't called Gemini. But I was like, oh, well, all these different models, they seem to have different strengths. What if I can bring them all into one app so people don't have to have 15 different descriptions? And I can bring in image generation too. I can probably figure out how to incorporate that. And what if I could build... again, this is coming from having had a subscription-based business before. The plugin was a yearly subscription. And already my customer research in that told me that people are getting burned out from having so many subscriptions. Subscription fatigue was a real thing. And so I thought, well, now it's going to be overload because they're going to have 5 different AI subscriptions. What if I could put them all in one place? That's going to solve a major problem financially and logistically. Putting them all in one interface makes it easier to use, makes it more accessible. And the fact that you can kind of use them against each other or with each other in tandem, that's a huge utility. So I knew I had the value proposition starting to build with this product. But the harsh reality was I've been so beaten down over the last 2 years that I still didn't believe anybody would buy it. But I knew I had to build something. Right. I was desperate. I had to build something and just pray to God, Lord, let it work.
Right. I've taken up almost 20 minutes of this interview and my co-host has been really patient. But hopefully you can stay on and we're going to have some bonus and we'll come back. But I'm going to throw it over to Kirk for the next question and then we'll deal with that. And then we'll probably extend it by 5 minutes and then we go for our middle break. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, if anyone's a regular listener or viewer, they're probably going to think that I'm on your payroll, Dustin, because I seem to mention Magi quite a bit. Everything that you mentioned, for people that haven't seen it, don't understand it, the strength to me is you get the multiple sources of AI.
But it's, I really like the consolidated folders, the chat history, all of it's there. As someone that used, because I am not prolific in AI, right? Like I'm not some expert. So I would struggle like, oh, did I look that up in Grok? Did I look that up in ChatGPT? Can I find the history? What, you know, hey, I looked that up a month ago. Where the heck is it? But if I use the Magi, you know, format, it's all right there in my folders, right? So that to me is worth the price of admission right there. And I feel like you are starting to get to this next question about subscription fatigue. I have subscription fatigue. Again, regular listeners and viewers, they've heard me say, I am a sucker for a lifetime deal. My computer is full of lifetime deals. Half of them I don't even use anymore, right?
Justin, I thought I was bad, but Kurt's a lot worse than me.
Yeah, Black Friday rolls around. And in the WordPress space, I'm like, buy it. So talk to me a little bit about like your decision to offer a lifetime deal or not. The difference between a lifetime deal for like revenue generation for a launch versus long-term or like, what are your insights or thoughts related to lifetime deals?
Yeah. You know, when I decided to do a lifetime deal and I was heavily opposed to it at first, because I had done lifetime deals before for previous products. Now in the traditional SaaS space, software is fairly low margin low cost, high margin, right? The cost to build a WordPress plugin and let people keep using it is almost zero. The only cost you have is whatever cost you have to pay the developers to keep updating it or the support person to answer the support questions. Right. That's the only cost. You don't have to house or host the WordPress plugin, right? There's no cost to that. There, you don't have to pay every time somebody uses the WordPress plugin, right? They're using their own resources to run it. So like the cost is nil, really, in reality. But when it comes to AI, the cost is heavy. This is not a traditional SaaS model.
It's more like hosting in a way, isn't it?
Kind of. I actually liken it to retail because every time a transaction takes place, there's a cost associated with it. I guess the same is true with the server. You know, the server's running and so there's costs, but it's much higher with AI, especially image and video, because image and video is very expensive. So, you know, one image, just the most simple basic image generator right now is going to cost you about 6 cents per image. You know, and then you have Veo, Google's video generator, an 8 second video is going to cost you $3.50. So it is a heavy, heavy cost for this AI. Now the LLMs are much cheaper, but the longer the conversations get, the more expensive they are. So it's almost like the weight of a fruit. The larger the fruit is, the more it costs. Well, the larger your chat conversation is, the more it costs every time you send a new message. So it's a very complicated financial structure. So doing a lifetime deal for a product that costs more every time the customer uses it, you are risking a lot. And the reward has to be really worth it to be able to support a user who pays once and then gets that lifetime access to that product that costs you every time they use it. So you have to be really smart. You have to be really good at math. Thankfully, I'm fairly good at math. And I had a friend named Charlie. Charlie runs and founded Rocket Hub, which is basically an AppSumo competitor. It's a lifetime deal place where they run lifetime deals. Now, the difference with Rocket Hub is that Rocket Hub tends to have more high ticket lifetime deals, whereas AppSumo tends to stick around the $30, $40 deals, or at least it did. I think they've kind of expanded a bit since then. Now, the other thing too is I've been approached several times by AppSumo. In fact, Noah Kagan reached out to me at least once wanting to acquire Social Warfare. And my partner...
I bet he did.
My partners declined. I was interested. My partners were not. But you know, I was familiar with AppSumo. And they approached me to do lifetime deals for my other products that were failing. And when they told me the structure of these deals, where they would keep 70% of the revenue and I would get 30.
70?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this. I was like, sorry, there's no way I'm giving away 70% of my revenue. And especially with an AI product, right? Again, my costs are huge. So the reward would have to be, you know, massive. And at the time, you look at some of these AppSumo deals and you realize it really kills more businesses than it launches. So when Charlie approached me, he's extremely smart. And so he explained, you know, with our lifetime deals, we do a 50-50 split. We'll do all the advertising. We take the advertising out of our cut of all the revenue, and we'll give you all the assets we produce. We'll produce graphics. We'll produce ad copy, Facebook images. You know, all the assets they produce he gives over to us at the end. And he said, we could do a limited run. We'll do only X number of things. And I was like, you know what? We're early on. This was literally the first 6 months of Magi's existence. It started to catch traction right away. So when I launched the product, March 31st of 2023, just 5 months after ChatGPT hit the scene, I kind of knew right away that people liked it. So I thought, well, I don't want to do all the marketing stuff that I did with my past failed products, because what if it fails again? And that would really suck. And like, I'd rather just the product speak for itself and not do any marketing and just see if it spreads organically. But I decided to partner with Charlie because he gave me a really good, he made a great case for the lifetime deal. And so we did. We partnered together and we created a limited amount of different plan options and had, I think, three different plans that people could buy, three different levels. And within 2 weeks, we only ran it for 2 weeks. That was my other stipulation. I only want to do a limited supply and I only want to do it for 2 weeks, where normally they run promotions for 4 weeks, like a full month. So I said, no, we're only going to do it for 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes. And that 2 weeks, we generated over $115,000 in sales. And I knew, well, this is going to be, we actually have something here. We have a product that people are really interested in and people really want and they really see value in and they're willing to pay for. So that was my experience with lifetime deals. I don't recommend it for AI products unless you're really good at risk mitigation and doing the math of what that actually looks like. But that was a risk I took, and I think it was well worth it.
I feel like I almost want to follow up with this because I look at it like, so a lot of people know that I work directly with Lifter LMS, and they had like deals that they sell and stuff, you know, periodically. And we've noticed, like you said, support, but it seems like the support's mostly front end loaded. And when someone's a user for any length of time, that support wanes. And then you're literally just taking that subscription over and over again, right? Or if it was a lifetime deal, right? That cost is mitigated over time.
Mm-hmm.
But with AI, and I hesitate to say it the way I'm going to say, but it's going to come out. People don't seem to get it. Like, I think that with the AI space, I don't know if that support would ever go away, because everyone's making these broad leap assumptions that AI is going to fix this, fix that, be automatic. And why doesn't it do this? And why doesn't it do that? And the guy on YouTube said it was easy. And I see that your ramp in your space doesn't seem like it has a down slope. It seems like it would, if anything, just keep going up.
It is very difficult because exactly what you said, people have a lot of assumptions. They assume AI is just a computer and it can do any computer thing that they tell it to do. That is not true, not by a long shot. So there is a lot of education we have to do. Our support team, I have a full-time support person. I actually have two full-time support people, and they are working nonstop to fulfill customer requests and answer questions. We have an AI agent that will also help to answer those questions and try to get them the help they need before it sends it to a human. And it works actually about 80% of the time. About 80% of our queries that come in get answered and fulfilled by the AI agent, but our two support people are still working nonstop. And the large majority of requests, it's not, you know, a bug with Magi or Magi failed something. It's the user expected something to happen that the AI actually doesn't do. Because maybe they saw another app do this and they think, well, if that app can do it, all AI things can do it. Well, no, the reality is AI is one thing, and then the tooling and the features built on top of the AI are completely separate and unique to that app. So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of education and a lot of poor expectations, or rather just misaligned expectations of what AI can and can't do. And we have to kind of be the front line educating people about, you know, why that thing didn't work and why it's not as easy as they thought it might be. And it hasn't slowed down. There are more, I mean, as education becomes more prolific in the space, we've invested heavily into a lot of AI content creators, you know, giving them whatever resources they need, because I feel very passionately about the education of people in the world of AI. But even though that's happening, there's still so many people that don't have the education. They don't have the experience. And so their expectations are, you know, just kind of out of left field sometimes. And we have to do our job to sort of guide them in the right direction.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the average person thinks they're on the USS Enterprise in Star Trek. They walk into a room and say, you know, good morning, computer, execute X, Y, and Z for me. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, that didn't work. This thing's a piece of crap. You know, yeah. It's like, no, that's, you're just being crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something we deal with and we expect, and we try our best to be compassionate, because you never know where someone's at with their AI usage. This might be the first time, might be the third time. So we try our best to be, you know, compassionate and patient with people when they, you know, are angry that their expectations haven't been met.
And I think I'm going to have one more follow-up on this, and I'll pass it back to Jonathan. In our space, in the agency space, because now you were an agency for a while, you made sites, you had clients. Jonathan and I have had clients in the past where people vibe code something and they go, oh, can you do this for us? And we go, yeah, that's going to be $7,000. And then they go, oh, well, we're going to hold off. And then 3 weeks later, they go, you know, I asked ChatGPT, are you familiar with AI? I had a conversation and it made me my own plugin. I just need you to zip the file and load it to my site for me. And I'm like, that's not how the internet works. Like that's we're not into that game. Like, and now we're talking to you. You're on the other
side. We're going to zip all the liability to you.
Well, it's interesting because we're both in the same game, but we're on the opposite side of that fence. And so how would you recommend agencies, because we have a lot of agencies that listen to the show, how would you recommend agencies deal with this scenario? Because it's, to me, it's bonkers nuts, but to 80% of the society out there, they think, well, I see it generate code and plugins all the time. Why can't you just use it?
Yeah. So I actually, yesterday, every week we do an AI Academy. So all Magi users have access to this, you know, weekly teaching where we teach something about AI.
Everyone.
It was a little bit spur of the moment because it was kind of sparked by a conversation. But I'm really passionate about this subject of vibe coding and the hype that surrounds it, that basically tells the person with zero code experience, hey, you can build a fully functioning app with just, you know, telling the AI to do it for you and you'll make millions. And that's as easy as it is. But the reality is, it's not that easy. And if you have any experience with code whatsoever, you know, and if you tried it, you know that these AI are not as good as they're touted to be, as the hype wants you to believe. They run into errors all the time. They rewrite code and make, you know, they break things and they fix things and then they break something else and then they fix that and then they break the thing that they fixed two steps ago, right? And they go into these endless loops. And so people just don't realize how the pipe dream or the, you know, the hype dream, like I call it, is just not what it is. The reality is that it's not easy to just code a plugin and make
Sam's such a great salesman, isn't he?
He is. Sam and, you know, the Bolt.news of the world, the VOs of the world, the Lovable Devs, the Cursor AIs, you know, they need to sell that dream of anybody can write code, because they have venture capitalists behind them saying, we need to make more money, sell that dream. And, you know, they hire the best marketers in the world to sell the dream. And I'm not saying, you know, anything bad about these companies. They've created some really great products, but those products are best in the hands of actual developers. Because if you're a developer and the AI breaks something, you can look at the code and go, oh, that's where it broke it. Fix this one thing and don't do this other thing. Or you can just rewrite the code yourself, right? So
yeah.
So I feel your pain. We actually talked about it yesterday in the AI Academy, how it's a big problem and people need to, you know, be very cautious and kind of set realistic expectations of what AI can code for them and what it shouldn't code for them and when to call for help.
Yeah, that's important. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, so I think it's a great moment to have our middle break. The conversation so far has met my expectations. I think it's just been a fantastic conversation with Dustin. We're going to be back in a few moments. We've got another couple messages from our sponsors that we really appreciate. They really help finance the show. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back and I'm going to throw it over to Kurt because he's got a message for our October sponsor, but we've decided to give our October sponsor a couple more weeks because I made a total mess of doing the first week. So as a generosity, we give it a couple of weeks to our October sponsor. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, we're kind of excited about the sponsor too, because it fits into our wheelhouse really well. We're sponsored by Mysterio LMS. And here's why we're kind of excited about it. They have a free version and it's not a trial, right? So it's a free version and it's not limited. So it's not limited in the sense that you could have unlimited courses, unlimited lessons, unlimited students, and that's forever. There's no credit card required for that, and you can build your entire course without paying a cent, which is cool, right? But you can also set up PayPal and Stripe at that free level. So now you can sell those courses. If you want to get into certificates and dripping the content or some other advanced features, they do have a pro version, and you can get more information at mysterio.com. That's mysterio.com.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Kurt. So let's go straight back into it. So, you know, you launched, you did the lifetime deal, you're getting traction, and I don't know how long you've been running it now because time goes so quick. I can't even remember when you first came on the show, which was another fantastic conversation. But what's been a couple, have there been any new lessons that you've learned on this journey so far that you could share with the tribe?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most sort of mind-blowing lessons is, you know, there are influencers and then there are influencers. So being a marketer for the past 12, 15 years ish, I've worked with influencers. I've been on all sides of the table. I've been considered an influencer at one point, taking brand deals and promoting people's products on my platforms. I've been the marketer facilitating the deal between a client and the influencer and, you know, tracking those campaign metrics. And then I've been the advertiser looking for influencers to help share my products. And just this past year, we finally started doing some of some real marketing. But it wasn't until I was invited onto a podcast by a guy named Brad Lee. Brad has been running his podcast called Dropping Bombs for many years now. Brad has over 5 million followers across social media. His content gets massive amounts of engagement. And his show's a pretty big deal. He invites people on who are, you know, very successful business people. It's a show all about business. And, you know, he's a multimillionaire, has many successful businesses. A lot of people he has are like real estate moguls. He's had politicians on. He's had Tai Lopez on. He's had rock stars, music producers, film producers, all sorts of very high level, very successful and wealthy people. So his audience is very attuned to, you know, business advice and financial type decision making. When he invited me on, I thought, well, gosh, this is probably one of the biggest podcasts I've ever been on. You know, hopefully it works out. And I've been on some big podcasts, you know, Michael Stelzner of Social Media Examiner, very popular podcast. My friend Ryan Hanley has a very successful podcast as well for insurance agents. I've been on many podcasts and sometimes they move the needle a little bit. You'll see some sales come through and a little bump. And that's always great. You know, I love teaching. I love talking. I'm an extrovert. So like invite me on a podcast. I'm there, whether or not it, you know, helps my business or not. Hopefully it does. But you know, I just like talking to people. But I go on Brad's show and, you know, he makes me come down to Las Vegas and record in his beautiful studio down there. He has a beautiful office complex. And we record this episode in, I think it was April or so. And he's like, okay, yeah, the team's going to put it together. And, you know, it'll probably release June 26th or so. June 22nd is when they actually released it. So I was a little caught off guard. I was actually traveling. I was visiting my hometown in Pennsylvania when I get the email like, hey, your episode published today. And I was like, oh, crap. I wanted to like get my marketing team behind this. Like I'm scrambling. In the week wake, and this was a Friday, actually, or maybe it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday. The week after that podcast released, our customer base grew by I think 30% in a single week. And by the end of 4 weeks, our customer base had doubled in size. And it was one of those holy crap moments where you really realize that some people in this world have influence, but some people in this world can move massive amounts of people to action. And Brad's one of those people. I was fortunate enough to get a spot on his podcast and talk about our company. And holy cow, it completely blew our business up in the best of ways. And now there are some downsides to that because our servers have been struggling ever since. And our support team was overwhelmed by the volume of new customers, right? Double the amount of customers means at least double the amount of support.
Right? I call those the problems you don't mind.
Well, you don't want them, but the resources, the funding that brings in, the cash flow that it brings in, is extraordinarily helpful in increasing the team. So we went from a team of, I think we were a team of 7 or so at the time. We're now a team of 12. And so it allowed me to hire some more help. It allowed us to do some more aggressive marketing things. And man, it's just been a lesson in like, you know, when you're looking for people to connect with and you're looking for people who have influence, there are people who do have audiences who actually listen to them. And, you know, it was just mind blowing. I never thought those sort of results could come from a single podcast appearance. Right. And so it kind of helped me reevaluate how we're spending our marketing and where we're investing our time. And that's a lesson that,
it's a bit of eye opening, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, for me, I care more about how I invest my time than how I invest my money, because time is the one thing we'll never get back, right? It's the most valuable resource that we have that we can decide what to do with, right? We can decide where to put our time, what podcasts to be on, what meetings to take, what you know, what projects to work on. And this was one of those things where I realized, holy cow, like I really need to invest more in the right kind of people, the right kind of appearances, the right kind of meetings. So after that happened, I probably say no to about 80% of the podcast requests I get now.
Well, I appreciate you coming on this show.
Absolutely. And this is one of those ones. It was an obvious yes, right? Because you guys
Why was it? Because funny enough, I was showing Kirk my 90 days. It's nothing like the guy. But I think you were reasonably impressed with the amount of downloads I got in 90 days, weren't you, Kirk?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised, to be honest with you.
All right, there we go. Not because Kirk's, it's me. But no, I thought we were doing reasonably well. But yeah, so that's the main one. Any other lesson? Or is that the main one?
The other lesson is perseverance. It's one of those things where if you're not ready to commit to, you know, a five-year plan, you probably shouldn't be in business. Like, you should probably go try something else. If you're not willing to grind it out and work out all the kinks to get to the thing that you actually want to get to, business may not be for you. I toiled for 10 years trying to build a personal brand and 12 years trying to build an agency and a business, and another 4 years trying to build a software product that eventually was fairly successful, but then stuff happened, right? And all the while, for me, the goal wasn't, you know, I want to make so much money or I want to be a successful businessman. Like, for me, the goal is always to be, I want to be the owner of my time and I want to be the owner of who I work with and what I do so that I can fund, you know, things that really matter. We sponsor a number of children over in Rwanda. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to be successful in business and do the things that I love so that I can help others in different ways. And so
yeah, that's a second
have that vision. Yeah. If it's not just about accomplishing things and making your life easy and being wealthy or rich or famous, if you have a greater vision than yourself, you can persevere and you can accomplish great things. You can get through some of the hardest crap that business and life will throw at you if you have that greater vision. And so perseverance is, I think, the ultimate lesson anyone needs to learn if they want to accomplish anything great.
Right. I'm going to throw it over to Kurt, the next question, and then he's probably going to have to dash off because he's got a prior commitment. So over to you, Kurt.
Well, Jonathan, I'm looking at the questions that we have, and I'm thinking that number five, the AI world and general intelligence, is probably a good one to bring up. So, you know, in this AI world, considerable discussion about this artificial general intelligence, and you're working in the AI space, right? So what are your thoughts on, like, this general intelligence versus this thing that recognizes patterns and kicks out answers?
Yeah, so if you pay close attention to particularly Sam Altman, who is, you know, the father of this chase in most people's minds, this chase after AGI, the definition of AGI has really changed over the last year and a half dramatically. And I really don't think anyone knows what it is. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, well, we'll know when we see it. Will you though? And will we see it anytime soon? I don't think so. Because here's the real challenge. AI has already been trained on all the data in the world several times over and through several iterations. Now they're creating synthetic data to train the AI. And so what you're really seeing is, and I forget the company and the research study that was done, but you're seeing basically an intelligence curve that went up and it spiked and now it's flatlining, it's plateauing. Well,
it's called scaling, isn't it?
Yeah. So the leaps in intelligence are hitting a ceiling because there's no more data to train on. And what do you do when you've exhausted all of the things that it can possibly learn? You're just relearning the same stuff, maybe more efficiently. But I think AGI is one of those things that is still science fiction. Now, we've got all this talk about quantum computing, right? And a lot of interest in that. But even with the quantum computing that we are experimenting with today is not sustainable. It lasts microseconds.
Well, that's got its own problems, hasn't it?
Right. Yeah, a whole host of problems that need to be overcome. And so I think...
Well, Elon says we have to put it in a canyon on the moon.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think Elon's got his own problems with Tesla.
The thing that I keep trying to tell people is, you know, AGI is one of those things that we're not going to see anytime soon. Anybody who tells you, there were people last year, an influencer I know who, and I respect, really, really smart person, was so caught up in the hype cycle. Like, AGI is here. We've seen AGI. They scored this score on the AGI test. AGI is here. And I kept going, no, it's still just an LLM, and it's still just predictive, generation. And I think now we realize, a year later, like, oh yeah, I guess Dustin was right. But just like I said, the definition is even changing because we don't actually know what it is, and we don't know, really what it's going to take to get to that point where we have sort of the singularity, the self-aware AI. You know, the Skynet or the Vicky, if you've seen iRobot. I don't think we're anywhere close to it. And I don't think we really even know what it's going to take to get there. Maybe 5 years from now, we'll have a better grasp. We'll have a better understanding of what it'll take to get there. But I don't think current technology, current physical and scientific, things that we have, whether it's physical limitations or just intellectual limitations that we haven't discovered the right things yet. We're a minimum of 5 years away, I think, from even understanding what it will mean to have AGI.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, there's a lot of really cool stuff we could do with AI, and we have to have AGI to really use AI to its fullest and maximize our creativity, maximize our ability to execute things. It really is I think AI, just like books, and I've said this from stage several times, I think the invention of AI, or the onset of AI, is a great a paradigm shift as the written word was when the Gutenberg press was first invented. The Gutenberg press took books in writing from a luxury that only the richest people could afford to something that the everyday person could have. It democratized knowledge, access to knowledge. And in the same way, AI is democratizing access to creativity and the ability to execute knowledge and to put knowledge into action. And so I think we're at a really cool and interesting and very fortunate time in history where, AI is allowing us to do much more, much faster. And we should really just dive head first into it and figure out how to apply it to our lives responsibly.
Well, it's funny that you bring up the Gutenberg example because I use a ton of AI I use a lot. But you're pointing out the Gutenberg and, printing books, printing the Bible, mm-hmm. the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Which leads to the Reformation, the Protestant and Catholics, which then leads to a 100-year European war. Mm-hmm. Half of Germany, half of Germany and the central states of Europe are kind of burnt to the ground in almost a 60, 70-year war period. Who would have believed that people access to the Holy Bible would then turn them into religious zealots and butcher their fellow Christian just because they believe in something slightly different to yourself?
Yeah. Technology has, capacity for good, capacity for evil. It's a delivery system for information and knowledge. And, as current technology is trying to divide us as well and be divisive.
I don't blame the technology. I just ourselves.
Actions are all we can control, right?
Yeah, the example is a bit of a downer, wasn't it? I am English, but I'm not blaming the technology. I just think you've got to be. There's something in the human condition. It wants to blame other people for everything, doesn't it? Where
Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah,
God asked Adam, what have you done? And Adam goes, she did it.
Yeah.
You gave me. She did it.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up.
Rip into our DNA to blame others.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show because Kurt's got to go off in the next couple of minutes. Are you up for some bonus content, Dustin, or do you have to clear off on the out?
No, I'm good to go.
All right, thank you. So we have some bonus content, folks, which you'll be able to watch the whole show and the bonus on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. And you should subscribe to that. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Kirk?
For business, you can reach me at mananomas.com and mananomas on all the social channels. And then, if you just want to connect personally, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt von Annen on LinkedIn. Makes me easy to find.
Yeah. And Dustin, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your views of AI?
Well, I'm at Dustin W. Stout on all the social things. And you can always head over to magi.co to find out more. magai.co.
It's been a fantastic interview. I've really enjoyed it. We've been on the roll the last few interviews. We've had some amazing discussions. Like I say, we're going to continue the discussion for about 10, 15 minutes, and you'll be able to watch it all on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. We will be back next week with another great interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.